Welcome to Fueled by Grace. My name is Mark Shiver. So glad to have you listening to the podcast, and had a lot of good feedback from our last podcast. So I'm excited about that. And I hope that you will continue to be encouraged in the fact that God loves you. That's the whole reason we are here at Fueled by Grace, is to tell you, to encourage you, to build you up in the reality that God loves you. The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a fact. That is the truth. And I want you to know that today. And I hope that you will be encouraged. I'm going to dive right into some really cool revelation that God has just been unfolding in my life. And it's changing my life. It's changing my perception. It's changing the way I see things. And it's pretty awesome. And might seem simplistic to you at first, but I hope that you'll get a great deal out of what I'm about to share, because I believe it will change your life. You know, every time somebody stands up and they say, well, you know, God's showed me something, it's going to change your life. I've heard that my entire Christian experience, it seems like. But really, I believe if you'll catch what God is saying here, it will in fact change your life. It's changing mine, and I'm really excited about that. So going back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we find that God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. There was light. And it's really cool because God spoke these things into existence. But I want to focus on the third day, because the third day is pretty significant. You know, the third day is pretty significant for us as believers, but it's pretty significant before what Jesus did on the cross and his death and resurrection, because on the third day, there was this interesting thing that God did on the earth. And he said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And that was the evening, and there was morning, and that was the third day. And so, isn't that amazing? And you're saying, no, Mark, that's really not amazing. Well, listen, when you begin to see the concept of a seed and a concept of a harvest and the fruit that that seed brings forth, you'll begin to understand your Christian walk in a completely different manner. Again, I am, and I hope that you will. I hope you'll be excited. I hope this will change your life. But let's go back, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, and God made the vegetation and seed-bearing plants and trees. And I saw a guy on television. I was flipping through the channels, and he was holding a lemon in his hand, and he cut it in half, and he said, you know, God spoke to this lemon, until the end of time, you will produce lemons. Wow. You know, that's really scientific. But it's true. The word of God is in every seed that is planted into the ground is obeying the command. Right here in Genesis chapter 1, God created seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. If you plant lemon seeds, you're not going to grow watermelons. God's word spoke to all of these seeds and said, you will produce after your kind. That's amazing, because in the book of Genesis further on, in chapter 8, when God had gotten fed up with the world, and as you all know the story of Noah, it rained and rained and rained, and God put Noah and his family in the safety of the ark, and he brought the creatures two by two and saved the animals like that. And so God brought them all forth from the ark after it quit raining and the water had receded. And in verse 22 of, let's go to verse 21 of chapter 8 in Genesis. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, because Noah had built an altar through the Lord and sacrificed, made some burnt offerings. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Verse 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And so it's interesting that God said seed time and harvest. Now, if you're a farmer or you know farmers, you know that they plant seeds and then they wait. And sometimes it's a grueling wait because all of a sudden there's drought, there's no rain. Oh, well, wait a minute, there's too much rain. Can you imagine being a farmer here in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago where it just rained and rained and rained for day after day after day? I drove by a field in one of the back roads that I travel and looked, and there was just mud everywhere. And I thought, he's going to have a hard time planting his seeds. But if he had had seed in the ground already, that farmer would really be worrying, because what was going to happen? Is his seed going to just be drowned? So farmers have it tough. They have to put up with weather. Too much rain, not enough rain. Too much heat, not enough heat. What's going on? Is it going to frost too early? We hear about that happening sometimes, and the late frosts that get on the strawberries, and, you know, nothing better than a North Carolina strawberry. But I'm just telling you that all of these things that are happening all around us that we take for granted, God spoke them into existence. He spoke into those strawberry seeds. Listen, you're going to produce strawberries. He told peach seeds, that big old giant seed right in the middle of a peach, you will produce peaches. And that peach seed goes into the ground, and that tree comes up, and you have a whole bunch of peaches on one tree. It's amazing how much fruit one seed can produce. Amen? How much fruit one seed can produce. Well, if we look at what God himself did, roll the tape forward a little bit, we see that God himself planted a seed, and he planted it in the womb of Mary. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, you have found favor. And she's like, what? Can you imagine an angel telling you that? Well, she was a little freaked out, but the angel said, don't worry about it. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And she said, whoa. I've never been with a man. And he said, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the seed that will be in you will come forth, and you will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. By the way, that was incorruptible seed that God placed in Mary. It couldn't be born of the seed of man, because in the seed of man is all of the sin of man. And we'll talk about that another time, get into some nice deep theology on that. But suffice it to say for today, God planted the seed of his son into Mary's womb, and Jesus was that seed, and she brought forth a harvest. Her harvest was a child, a healthy baby boy. His name was Jesus. I was driving around the other day, and it occurred to me that Jesus lived under the curse. You know, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, guess what, Adam? You're going to work in the sweat of your brow. You're going to try to till the earth. It's going to be hard. You are going to have to work, buddy, and you're going to sweat. And I can imagine, here's Jesus as a young man growing up in his father's carpentry shop, working hard, sweating, living under the same curse that mankind was under, that God pronounced on Adam and Eve as he was dealing with them after they ate from the tree that he told them not to. And I'm sure, can you imagine Jesus swinging a hammer and whack, hits his thumb? I'm sure he doesn't use some of the words I use, because, you know, the Bible says he was without sin. But all of these things, the Bible says he was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet without sin. Now, this is important because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so, legally, Jesus didn't have to die. Jesus did not have to pay the wages of sin because he never sinned. That's why he told Pilate, look, I could have called a legion of angels to deliver me. You know, don't think you're in charge here, bud. Jesus allowed himself to be punished for our sins. And in previous podcasts, we've talked about how awful it was, how he was beaten. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, he was rejected, despised. Can you imagine being despised? You know, you walk into a room and people are just like, oh man, I despise that guy. This was Jesus. You know, we have these pictures of him from Sunday school looking real nice and sympathetic and carrying a little lamb. But he was rejected and scorned and despised. He was nobody of any great good looks. You know, he wasn't somebody that was like, wow, look at that guy. He was despised. And then he was beaten and smitten and bruised, cursed at, spit on. You know, through all of that, he didn't sin. He endured all of that suffering without sin. So what happened? God planted another seed. You say, what do you mean, Mark? Well, Jesus had fully obeyed God. He said nothing except what his Father told him to. He fulfilled the law completely. The wages of sin is death, and he did not have to die, but he allowed himself to become a seed that God would plant. Jesus said, if a kernel of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and die, you won't have a harvest. So Jesus allowed the wages of sin to come onto him. And folks, this is a reality. You know, we're told in church all the time, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And yet we walk around worried about our sins. Oh my gosh, I just sin. I just blow it. Well, brother, you need to be held accountable for your sins. And we take this amazing, unbelievable thing that Jesus Christ did for us, and we just toss it over as some kind of theological bullet point. We don't embrace it. We don't ingest it into our reality that it's real. Jesus paid the wages of sin so you don't have to. And yet we pay them every day. We pay them with guilt and shame, and we withdraw ourselves from people. We withdraw ourselves from God. Oh, I'm terrible. I have such guilt. You know, I just can't do this. I can't do that. I didn't read my Bible. I said a cuss word. I didn't go to church. I looked at a girl and I shouldn't have. I looked at stuff on the internet I shouldn't have. Well, I've been gossiping. I'm a terrible person. I cheated on my wife. I cheated on my husband. I'm such a sinner. And we're so bound with sin that we don't stop to even think about the reality that Jesus paid the wages of sin. He paid them. He said, put them on me. And he took all of that shame and suffering and beating and that horrible crucifixion so that you and I could be free from sin. The reason that we spend so much time bound in sin is because we are caught up in focusing on it and trying to get out of it. And it's like we're in a quicksand full of sin. We're like in this miry clay. And David said, God pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock in Psalm 40. And you know what? Some of you need to get yourselves out of the miry clay of sin. Quit focusing on your sin. Quit thinking about how bad you are and how you failed. And say, thank you, Jesus, that you paid the penalty for my sin, that you paid the wages for my sin so that I don't have to. And when you begin to do that and ponder that reality and focus on that, you will begin to see the strength of sin falling off of you. I'm telling you, I promise you, you're never going to conquer your flesh by your own strength. You're never going to conquer sin in your own strength. The only way you will conquer it is by letting go and saying, I receive, Lord Jesus, the fact that you paid the wages of my sin and you took them into yourself. Now, Jesus died. He paid the wages of sin. And what happened? God planted his son as a seed. Now, the third day, God said to all of those fruits and trees, you're going to reproduce after your kind. Remember, you're going to reproduce after your kind. Folks, this is the most important thing that I have said in a long time. So I want you to listen, and I want you to get this, and I want you to tell other people about this. This will change your life. God planted his son, Jesus, as a seed. And when, on the third day, the same day that he told seed to reproduce after their kind, a new race was born. Jesus rose from the dead, a new creation, the firstborn, the Bible says, of many brethren. And what happens when you plant seed? In Genesis 8, God said, there will be seed time and harvest. Listen to me. You are that harvest. I am that harvest. If you are born again, you are part of this amazing circle that God started in Genesis chapter 1 when he said, you will produce after your kind, you seeds, you trees, you will be producing forever until the end of time after your own kind. And then he demonstrated that by planting his son into the ground to pay, after he paid for our sins and he died, he planted his son. His son came forth, a new creation, a new race, the firstborn of many brethren, and you and I are grafted into that. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He died with Christ. I have died with Christ, and I live. Yet it's not me. It's Christ who lives in me. And you are that harvest. I am that harvest. And every time somebody believes and receives Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, they become part of that harvest. God has been harvesting from his son for thousands of years. And here's what's so amazing about this concept. Here is what God has been blowing my mind with, and I want it to blow your mind, that if you see yourself as that harvest, you have to see yourself as new. You are new. Jesus didn't come back up as the same old guy, the same human that he was. He's resurrected from the dead, the firstborn of many brethren. And we are harvested with him every time we believe. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. New. You're new. Listen, when you go to a peach orchard and it's harvesting time, you pull off big, plump, fat, juicy peaches. They don't have rotten peaches hanging on the trees unless nobody's harvested them. You, by believing, are the harvest of God. God wanted the human race to be in fellowship with him. And so he took the very principles that he instituted in Genesis chapter 1 on the third day by making seeds reproduce after their kind. And he planted the seed of Jesus into Mary, and he came forth, and he lived his life, and he did not sin, yet he willfully paid the wages of sin for you and me and for everyone else. And he died, planted into the ground as a seed, and he came forth, and God is reaping a harvest every time somebody gives their life to Christ. And the dreadful thing that we're doing in the church and that we've been doing for thousands of years is trying to tell people, well, you know, you've got a new nature, but, well, you know, you're still got this old nature to deal with. No, you are a new creation. Well, what about what Paul said? Yes, Paul said, you know, good grief, it's hard. I do things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I should. But if you continue to read, you understand that the power of sin is in the body. And you are not just your body anymore. You are a new creation. The Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. You are in union with Jesus Christ, raised to newness of life. Raised to newness of life. Stop living in the old. Well, I gave my life to the Lord several years ago, but, you know, I just don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it. Well, what are you doing? Well, I hear pastors, you know, he teaches me on six ways of how to do this and how to be a better Christian and how to study my Bible and how to not sin and how to... Look, I love believers, the believers that I know and I'm in fellowship with, I love them. I love many, many pastors that I have met in my time in the church over the last 30 or so years. But I want to tell you something. It's time to quit doing. Sit down with a cup of coffee and look out at the blue sky some morning and just start to ponder. Wow, Mark said I'm new. Well, the Bible says I'm new. Mark said something weird. He said, I'm the harvest. What does that mean? Let's see. What comes forth from a harvest? It's fruit. It's fresh, new fruit. Jesus came forth from the dead, and the Bible says, I died with him, and I'm risen in Christ. Wow, Paul said, I'm like Christ. I'm new. I'm a new creation. And then Paul goes on to say that God's not counting my sin against me anymore. Why am I fighting so hard? And just sit back and take a deep breath and go, I'm new. I am the harvest of God. I am why he planted his son in a borrowed tomb. And he came forward, risen from the dead, the firstborn of many brethren, the first apple, so to speak, picked from the tree. And every new believer afterward is another fresh, juicy apple. And you and I are new in Christ. We don't get old. We are new. We are in union with him. When you become born again, your spirit comes alive. And you're not just a body, but you're a spirit and a soul and a body. And your spirit is in union with Jesus. And you can have fellowship with him all the time. And you begin to do that and begin to focus on the reality of who you are. Wow, I'm new. I'm the harvest of God. You know, people must think I'm weird. I've been walking around. Well, I guess nobody's heard me because I'm by myself. But I've been saying, wow, I'm the harvest of God. Does that sound weird? I say that all the time now. I am God's harvest. Because when he planted his son Jesus, he wanted fruit. Just like when you plant a big old peach seed, you want peaches. God planted Jesus, and he got me, and he got you if you're born again, and he got every believer that's ever believed and whoever will believe. God did that, allowed his son to do that, to go through paying the wages of sin so that he could have a harvest of you and me to fellowship with for all eternity. The sad thing is, we don't fellowship with God. But we just look at our sins and live in dismay. Well, we had a good day, we didn't sin, so we're happy. Yeah, God is good. And then we stumbled or something bad happens, and you know, well, I don't know if God is good or not. Listen, I understand challenges in life can make you question a lot. I've been through that now almost for 2 years, trying to understand some things that I still don't understand. But I do know this. I do know that I am new in Christ. I am a new creation. I am born again. I am not what you see with your natural eyes. I am new. I am the harvest of God, because when he planted his son came forth, and I believed, and I am a believer, and I am new in Christ, and I am born again, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am part of the great harvest that God so intently wanted. The great mystery of Christ in union with him. It's awesome. We're going to talk more about this. I know I gave you a lot today. I hope I haven't just completely blown your mind or made you think that I'm stupid. I guess it doesn't make sense. The Bible says the things of God don't make sense to the natural mind. And this takes a while to grab hold of. But just think of it this way. In Genesis 1, God said, hey, seeds, you're going to create fruit after your own kind. So God made lemon seeds and kiwi seeds and on and on and on. And then he planted Jesus of incorruptible seed in Mary. She brought forth a son. She reproduced after her kind, human. And then Jesus allowed his father to plant him in the ground and come forth on the third day, the same day that God said, hey, we're going to have seeds producing after their kind. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he came forth, the Bible says he's the firstborn of many brethren. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that so awesome? You and I are the harvest of God. It feels great too. I want you to know that God loves you today. If we can pray for you, please fill out one of the comments sections on the website, and know that you can share this podcast. You can listen on iTunes. You can listen on the website, fueledbygrace.com. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen just about anywhere. But tell people, share this good news with your friends and family, because they need to know that God loves them.